Wheeland Presley Funeral Home and Crematory, a proud supporter of WQPT, has been serving Quad City families since 1889. Now providing live stream capabilities for viewing your loved one's funeral or memorial service at their chapel in Rock Island.
The shots arrived and a select few are getting the vaccine. Now what? And a year without movies, are the theaters ever going to be the same in the cities? We hope you're having a wonderful Christmas holiday and welcome to the cities. This is a Christmas, of course, like no other. And some say we're getting a present like no other. Starting last week, the first of the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccines arrived. The first weapons we've received to fight this strain of the coronavirus. And this week, a second vaccine was approved and sent out. These are important first steps. But we're being warned there's so much more that lies ahead. And because of that, we talked last week with the chief medical officer at Genesis Health, Dr. Kurt Anderson, about what we're facing now and what we can expect in the new year. Yeah, you know, beginning of the end, but is it really? I mean, it's a long road straight ahead.
Yeah, I agree. I think you can say we're starting to work through the process to get the virus under control in our country and to see the pandemic not affect our everyday lives to the degree that it does, but that's still many months ahead. We have to, you know, prioritize our immunizations based on our vaccinations, based on the availability of the vaccine. And then we've got to work from healthcare workers and nursing home residents and workers where we are now, all the way down to vaccinating everyone that wishes to have a vaccine in the country. And that will be done sequentially based on your risk of either exposure to COVID-19 or your underlying risk of becoming very sick if you were to get COVID-19. Those are kind of the guiding principles of how we'll prioritize the vaccine distribution. But that process will take many months. And, you know, hopefully, I think as the dialogue has been nationally from experts like Dr. Fauci, hopefully by the time we get to next summer, we're in a much better place than we've been for the last, approaching a year. I guess we're 10 months in now.
And we saw the first shots being given out to frontline workers, doctors and nurses. They look like healthy people. You got healthy people working at Genesis as well as Unity Point as well. Are you monitoring them after they got the vaccine?
Yes, we monitor everyone. The recommendation that came out with the emergency use authorization was that everyone who receives the vaccine should be monitored for 15 minutes for any concern for side effects. And then we follow up with them if they have any concerns, even post-vaccine. We want them to reach out through our employee health team to make sure that we're tracking internally. And then everybody has an app that they're to download if they have a reported side effect that will feed into the national data bank. And if we're aware of any side effect an employee has that's significant, we're also reporting that up through the national reporting system. So Genesis, Unity Point, everyone in our community and across the country will be reporting any significant side effects.
Because we have been told that this has been tested, this has been gone through all of the procedures that it needed to go through, but still these first people getting shots are somewhat guinea pigs.
Yeah, I believe that the vaccine did go through the rigorous testing. It met all the criteria, both the Pfizer and the Moderna vaccine, which is being evaluated right now. And but we're talking about an experience of, you know, tens of thousands of vaccine recipients. And over the next days, we'll be talking about hundreds of thousands and then millions that have received the vaccine. So it's likely we'll notice some things that we didn't notice in the smaller trial. But certainly, we don't anticipate any serious safety issues at this point.
This is really unprecedented in some ways. I mean, I know the polio vaccine, you think of some of the vaccines, but that's generations ago. That's the 1940s and 50s is when some of these other vaccines came out. These are really unprecedented times we're going through right now.
Yes, I think we've had some great success with vaccines throughout the years. Certainly going back to polio, but you know, childhood illnesses, many of the childhood illnesses have been almost eliminated with vaccination, measles, mumps, rubella, things like diphtheria, you know, things that were very common are no longer around because of the efficacy of the vaccines that we use on a regular basis for childhood immunizations. And I would even point to the newer vaccines like the human papillomavirus vaccine that we use that is now showing very good data in reducing the rates of cervical cancer in our population. Vaccines have been very effective over time. But what I think is unique about this vaccine is that it's developed in some new techniques using an mRNA vaccine. We've had those before, but to have one that's been this effective, at least based on what we have from the early study data, and to have it developed in the short period of time that these vaccines have been developed is really incredible. It's a testament to science. It's a testament to the researchers and the teams that have worked on development and testing of the vaccines.
Well, and the other thing that's unique about at least the Pfizer vaccine is the vaccines that you've mentioned in the past, it's usually one shot and maybe a booster years down bad. This is like you get one shot and then within a month you got to get a second one. So the first shot's really important, but that second shot may be just as important.
Yes, correct. With both of the vaccines that are likely to be approved, the Pfizer vaccine and the Moderna vaccine that's being evaluated today, both of them require a second dose. For the Pfizer vaccine, it's 3 weeks after your first dose, and for the Moderna vaccine, it's 4 weeks after your first dose. The way the vaccines were developed, the way they were studied, it was clear that gave you the greatest sense of immunity. And we know that greatest immunity comes about 2 weeks after you've had that second dose. So it is very important that we get the two-dose series in, and it's very important that you get the same vaccine for both doses.
Does that worry you at all? I mean, as we go forward into the future, is that it's hard enough to get some people to get a vaccine. Getting a second vaccine might be just equally difficult.
I think that's why we have to educate the public on the importance of receiving the two-dose series to make sure that you get the protection that the vaccine can provide. It does take some responsibility for the individual to make sure that they make that a priority. We're going to do everything we can to schedule that and make that happen when we give the vaccines. But again, we do rely on individuals to make that a priority in their life and make sure that if they've taken the time and made the effort to get the first vaccine, that they follow up and get the second booster dose to make sure that they get the protection that they should from the vaccine.
Dr. Anderson, let's talk about what's going on at Genesis right now. I mean, we were worried about a post-Thanksgiving surge. You had plenty of patients. Your ICU was becoming more full leading into the holiday. What's the status right now at the hospital?
Yeah, you're right. We had a very challenging November, especially going into the holiday. The good news is we have seen a plateau, actually a reduction and now a plateau. So our number of patients in our health system with COVID is today a little less than half of what it was in mid-November. And that's been consistent over the past 2 weeks. Now that number is still significantly higher than it was at any time prior to November. So I don't want to say that we're back to where we want to be. We still have a much higher level of COVID spread in our community and much more hospitalizations in our community than we've had at any point up until November. But we are better than we were when we surged the first few weeks of November.
Well, and we were all worried about what was going to happen after Thanksgiving with a big bump and a big surge, and that appears to not have happened. I mean, is this a case of people listening and following perhaps some of the pleadings to not gather in large groups, or was this the sky is falling, as some people might say?
Well, I hope it's the first thing. I hope people were careful. I hope they listened. I hope they avoided large gatherings and that they wear masks when they're in public and they maintain distancing and hand washing. I'd like to think that we can pull together as a community and do that to protect all of us, especially the most vulnerable in our community. So I think we did do that as a community effort. I also think there's just less travel than normal, at least from the Midwest. I'm not sure every part of the country saw the same phenomenon we did. In the Midwest, we happen to be in a significant surge right before Thanksgiving. Other parts of the country are now seeing a significant surge after Thanksgiving. So if you know, our national numbers continue to be significantly worrisome right now.
Yeah, and that's a really good point, is that I think a lot of people did see the numbers before Thanksgiving and took this very seriously. Are you worried about the opposite being true as we head into Christmas?
Yes, I think we've seen it does not take very long for this virus to flare up and to create a significant surge that pushes our resources towards the upper end. You know, we were really at the upper end of our resource availability throughout the state and throughout the region if we look at where we were 3 weeks ago. So I'm concerned. It doesn't take very many people not doing the right thing for the virus to flame back up again and to have us see those high numbers that we saw in November. At the same time, as excited as we are about the vaccine and the potential that we're going to be able to manage this pandemic in the months ahead, we're not there. We are not there yet. And everyone has to do their part. They have to do everything we've been asking them to do since we started this back in February and March. And if we can stick to that, if we can be consistent with that, and if we can roll out the vaccination over the months ahead, we will be in a good place by summer or the latest fall. But if we continue to have sort of we'll do what we're supposed to do when it gets bad, but when we think it doesn't seem too bad, we're going to do whatever we want. We're going to continue to cycle up and down. We're going to see waves of significant infection rate, significant hospitalization, significant deaths. That pattern's going to repeat itself if we don't consistently apply the prevention techniques that we all know work.
And yet, as you know, this is not only a medical issue, it's a societal issue and a political one as well. And Iowa's governor has eased some of the restrictions heading into, you know, the Christmas holidays and into the new year. I mean, is that part of what you're worried about? Is that, okay, the numbers are a little bit better, and then the state says, okay, we're going to ease some of these restrictions?
Yeah, I understand the tricky balance of trying to maintain the economy and to keep people safe. From a safety standpoint, the more restriction we have, the better. I understand you have to try to find that balance. I do think that maintaining the recommendation for mask use and social distancing, I think those stayed. We did not lose. She did not change her position on that. I appreciate Governor Reynolds' view there. And I think we have to, no matter what the mandates are, it's an individual choice and it's an individual responsibility to do the right thing for your family, for yourself, and for your community. So I hope that we still continue to be very diligent, and we don't, you shouldn't base your decisions just on what you're told you absolutely can't do. You should base your decisions on what you know is the right thing to do. You should base your decisions on what you know will keep your family safe and keep you safe and your community safe.
One last issue, of course, is mental health. I mean, this is weighing on all of us, especially your staff. We were talking to one of your doctors after the shot was given, talking about the difficulty of intubating patients or looking these people in the eyes when their respiratory system is really starting to shut down or is so crucially not being used because of this virus taking over their lungs. I mean, this virus is really going to have a lasting impact on the medical community as well. Everything that you have seen and done over the last, as you said, 10 months.
I couldn't agree more. You know, healthcare workers are special people. You know, they take the mission to take care of people and sometimes do that in putting their own health at risk. And our staff have done that throughout the pandemic. And I can't be more proud of them or more thankful for their sacrifices and their commitment. But that will take a toll. I think we've seen some of that already. We know it's been emotionally extremely difficult. It really is a crisis situation that they're entering on a daily basis. And I'm concerned not only about how we're doing now, but how we'll be doing in the months ahead when things actually get better and they can take a minute to breathe and relax and then have to deal with the after effects of the crisis situation that they've been in, which will likely have exceeded a year. And so I think that we are going to have a lot of work to do to try to support them and to try to protect them. We do that now. We try to make sure they have all the proper equipment to keep them as safe as possible. The beginning vaccination of healthcare workers is another layer of protection that we're very excited about. And we try to work with them on stress and their mental health. And we provide those services and counseling available to them through their employment. But healthcare workers, it's just the way we're wired. We put our own health last. And so they don't tend to admit that they need the help. So we have to ask and we have to watch and we have to make sure that when they need the help, we're trying to get them the help they need.
Dr. Kurt Anderson, Chief Medical Officer at Genesis Health. In a moment, seen any good movies lately? Probably not. We talk with the River City's Reader's film critic about what's in the pipeline and if our viewing habits have now changed forever. But first, Laura Adams is in the Christmas mood and ready to go out and about.
This is Out and About through January 5th, 2021. Experience the astounding moment when Allied and German soldiers laid down their arms on Christmas Eve to celebrate the holiday together during World War I, when WQPT presents All Is Calm, the Christmas Truce of 1914, on the 24th at 9 p.m. Blakelock by the Light of the Moon exhibit opens at the Figge and runs through March 7th. Or check out all of the holiday light displays. Fegivary holiday lights in Davenport continue to dazzle through January 3rd. Or visit the Rock Family Christmas display delighting guests since 1987 at the Tikoga Winery in DeWitt. And new this year, the Gross Family Christmas display in Sherrard is sure to inspire holiday cheer through December 31st. Shop local at the Holiday Pop-Up Market in East Moline at the Iron and Grain Coffee House running through the 30th. From ancient times to today, children have played with toys. Explore the role of toys through the Putnam Original Exhibit, Play the Story of Toys, through December 31st. And don't forget to catch the virtual performances of Christmas at Augustana. 300 student musicians share the joy of the season through December 24th. Plus, you can stream the Festivus Show, a two-day holiday extravaganza with 11 musical acts performing in 11 different downtown Davenport businesses, December 26th and 27th from 7 to 10 at home and streaming. For more information, visit WQPT.org.
In some ways, it doesn't seem like Christmas, but the Bucktown Review wants to change that for you. We were able to get some of their favorite holiday songs recorded for you this season, and that includes this classic. Here's the Bucktown Review and Silent Night.
Dawn of redeeming grace.
The Bucktown Review and Silent Night. Usually right now, we'd be excited about the big blockbuster movies from Hollywood. This is always the time when the best movies come out, and Hollywood gets its Oscar-worthy films in airing. Well, not this year. The theaters are dark, and some in Hollywood are already finding ways around the theaters to get their films to you. So is this the beginning of the end of movie houses as we know them? We talk with River City's Reader Entertainment Editor Mike Schultz about that and what you can still expect to see in the coming weeks. What's out there? Is there anything out there worth seeing?
I have actually been to the movies with maybe two exceptions every week since mid-August. So yeah, I mean, there's stuff out there, but unless it's like Christopher Nolan's Tenet or something like huge, nobody hears about them because they're just standard rom-coms or action thrillers and stuff you would basically ignore if they were on cable anyway.
What are we going to do about 2020 as far as movie history is concerned? Just say, oh, that was the year there were no movies?
It's such a strange thing because I'm in the process of like putting together my best movies of the year, which right. I will publish as always. But the list is like at least 9 out of the 10 are things I caught on streaming. And I realized that when you watch things on TV, they don't stick in your head the way they do at the movies. You know what
Fair.
I mean? You can see something and then 2 weeks later be like, well, I really want to check that out sometime.
Fair, yeah.
Oh, wait, I did. Right.
Well, because movie going is an event.
Yeah, exactly. You have to, even just driving there. You have to drive there and then you remember like patrons who were on their phones behind you. I mean,
sure.
You remember stuff about the experience. And, you know, even like looking at titles of movies I loved, I'm like, okay, what day on the couch was that? it's the same every time.
But so, let's be honest. I mean, during the holiday season, I mean, from Christmas to New Year's is such a great movie theater going experience,
yeah.
period of time with your family. And that seems like to be another casualty of COVID in 2020.
Yeah, well, I mean, they are opening Wonder Woman 84 is going to open on Christmas Day at the Davenport Cineplex. They've got a new Tom Hanks Western coming out that day called News of the World. They have this really interesting looking movie called Promising Young Woman with Carey Mulligan. So they are actually opening some things, but I still think everyone's going to stay home and watch Soul from Pixar on Disney
yeah.
Plus. You know, I mean, that's just probably the way it's going to go this year. Yeah.
So, I mean, the Oscar Awards in 2020, honoring the movies of 2019, of
yeah.
course, was affected by the pandemic, the actual event, the gala event. Is 2020?
Oh, no, that wasn't actually. That was still held live. That was like 2 weeks before the shutdown. So.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, thank you. Thank you very much.
That
but for 2021, it's like you might be able to have the event, but you don't have the movies, it seems.
Yeah, well, it'll be more like the Emmys, basically. It'll be like that thing I saw on TV that had that great performance with Viola Davis. Oh, I remember that. Right. You know, but it's going to be stuff that you saw on your television because aside from that, right. I mean, the Oscars, as you know, rarely acknowledge movies in January and February anyway.
Right.
And that's all we got, basically, until everything shut down. So it's going to be a matter of, do you have Netflix? Do you have Prime Video? Do you have Disney Plus? Then you can actually see these things.
Now, Warner Brothers chairman, Toby Emmerich, was saying that we have these movies sitting on the shelf, and that's why he's going to streaming, and that's why he's going to HBO Max. Do you buy that, or do you think that is the future, or do you think that is the temporary, hey, we've got these movies, we got these films, we got to get them out to the public somehow?
Sure. Well, that actually, I think, is true, because otherwise they're going to start getting just backlogged. I mean, because films are still in production right now, or restarted to be in production again. So they can't have too many potential blockbusters just taking up space, not doing anything. I get it, and I also kind of like the access it gives people. I mean, agreed, you do have to have HBO Max to see these, but once you do, you have access to, I mean, you know what I mean? You don't have to leave your house, you don't have to drive 50 miles away in a snowstorm or, you know, whatever. It's available whenever you want, which I think is going to be the wave of the future. I think I would be surprised if huge cineplexes stick around so much as small, I think small artsier little tiny houses might have a better shot. You know what I mean? If it's only required to get 30 people to make money as opposed to 200 people every single night, that might be a smarter business move. We'll see. Yeah. It's a weird time, man.
I don't want to get too historic on you.
Okay, thank you.
But I want to take you back to the Dark Ages.
All right.
You get done with the Dark Ages, you got the Renaissance, and the world goes crazy with creativity.
Yes.
Take us to 2020. 2020 and 2021. Don't you have a feeling like the second half of 2021 is going to be an amazing period of creativity for moviegoers, concert goers, people who want to go to plays, all of that entertainment that's been pent up for more than 10 months?
I absolutely do. I absolutely do. I think restaurants are going to be packed every single night. I think concert halls, like you say, I mean, yeah, absolutely. It's going to be like the end of World War II. You know, it's going to be like, we can celebrate again and do these things that we always took for granted for so long. I mean, everyone I know wants to go to the movies, but most of them aren't going. I mean, I would say 95% of the people I know just won't go. And it's hard. You can't fight them. It's like if you're nervous about it. You know, I feel absolutely safe every time I go to the movies. I certainly do. But I absolutely get people who don't yet. So once that happens, yeah, I think it's going to be a crazy burst of an explosion of, oh, look at all the entertainment that we have again.
Right.
I think it's going to happen. Yeah.
And you know and love so many of the people that are in the arts, whether it is musicians, singers, dancers, even playwrights, writers, poets, all of these people. It's been... And give me a sense for this. It has been an inordinately tough year for them.
Oh, it's been crushing. I mean, if you think about, well, as you know, I mean, I'm pretty deep in the area of theater scene, and when you lose entire seasons for Quad City Music Guild and Genesius Guild and the Frenzy Players and the QC Theater Workshop and Circa 21 does two shows instead of 10, I mean, that's devastating. That's devastating for the people, for people too, who actually get paid to do this. I mean, a lot of places are community theater oriented, where you do it for free anyway because you love it. But then there are basically the actors and the performing wait staff over at Circa 21 who can't do anything. I mean, as far as their career choice goes, you know. So yeah, it's been really rough. There's been a lot of Zoom productions. I've been involved in a few myself. Laura Adams, bless her, opened the Black Box Theater again for 5 months. I was able to do a show over there just because we fell in the window at exactly the right time, you know. It's really rough. It's really rough. Everyone I know can't wait for it to be over, so.
Mike Schultz, entertainment editor for the River City's Reader. And once again, from our house to your home, we hope you're having a very Merry Christmas, a safe and happy holiday, and we thank you for spending part of it with us. And as always, on the air, on the radio, on the web, on your mobile device, and streaming on your computer, thanks for taking some time to join us as we talk about the issues on the cities.
Wheeland Presley Funeral Home and Crematory, a proud supporter of WQPT, has been serving Quad City families since 1889. Now providing live stream capabilities for viewing your loved one's funeral or memorial service at their chapel in Rock Island.